You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at WPCouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yeah, I play this because it's like a waterman, you know? And to tell the truth, one of the things that we've been telling you from the very beginning, ever since the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council came on board as a partial sponsor to our program, we've been telling you, and I've been honored to be at the last several seminars as the MC of the Fishers Forum. And tonight and today, depending on when you're listening, is a really perfect example of this bottoms-up business. Instead of it being topped down where, you know, somebody in Washington, D.C. or somebody in at the federal level or whatever is telling us what to do, they actually pay a little bit of attention. And it's sort of interesting because today we're going to talk about how fishermen and scientists don't necessarily agree on the same page. But when they do, things work out for positive. We are talking today on the island of Maui to Basil Oshiro. He's a bottom fisherman, and he's on the advisory board of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, as well as being part of the Maui Cooperative Fishermen's Association. And all he really wants to do is be like the rest of us, is go fishing. But he's got to do all of this other stuff. Basil, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Right, I'm still here.
How did you get snapped into volunteering for this job? All of us have different ways. How did they put the bite on you?
Well, back in maybe 2004, 2005, we made meetings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Been talking about the bottom fishing, the TAC, the total allowable
catch. Now, this is a number that we've all argued about for a long time, and I'm not sure it's getting any better. But I do know that one thing, if scientists are going to make a decision, it's based on them getting information from people like you and me, right?
Right. And somehow, you know, they're not talking to the right people, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of accomplished fishermen, and they are the ones that the scientists should be talking to. Yeah, they're the most knowledgeable about the industry. They have what we call generational knowledge. Yeah, through the years, we learn the course, where to go, what currents to fish with. Yeah, and till this day,
you know, one thing that I've always found different, and maybe you can comment to this, is that a lot of times I'll make a kapu on certain times, lobster, you know, or whatever, and they don't understand that in some areas, some fish breed at different times than in other areas, right? It's not all the same in the whole state.
Right, that's right. It's a part of the Ahumoku system when you go to that site.
Mm-hmm.
So with the general knowledge of the moku, you go to that certain person or the community itself, and they'll let you know what's happening in their area, yeah, their moku. And this is more shoreline kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the Ahumoku is more shoreline management plan of the ancients that they survived for all these thousands of years.
Yeah, you know, it's really true. I mean, back in the day, certain fish only Ali'i could eat. Maybe it's because there weren't very many of them. Also, you know, it worked because you could see things. But, you know, where you guys go, and by the way, for those that don't know, Basil's main interest here, he's a bottom fisherman. And a lot of times, bottom fishermen are in deep water. You can't go down to the bottom and take a look, but now you can.
Yeah, they have the submarines and stuff.
Terrific, huh?
Yeah, that's one of the best ways, but it's really expensive. So the next best thing is the butt cam.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we're experiencing through the cooperative research with the Pacific Island Fishery Group and NOAA with the Oscar Seri, it's not the best thing, because it has only one camera, and it sure as heck needs improvement on it. And that camera's cost, so maybe anywhere from $25,000 to $30,000 a piece. So, you know, looking at the expense of it, and the cost of the submarine is maybe 10 times more than that. And we've seen the camera work done by the submarine when they did Kaholawe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With that, if they can afford it, it would be nice.
Well, I do know that there's been dramatic increases I did a thing a couple of weeks back with the fisheries group talking about these new like GoPro cameras and some of these other things. Thank goodness the technology is becoming more accessible, because I think that, you know, we'd all have a hard time agreeing on anything. And you say, oh, it's only one camera. That doesn't see the whole bottom. You got to have plenty of cameras.
Right, right. Like the GoPros, we did some experimenting with that GoPros. But the problem we have, we don't have enough light after we pass about 110.
I never thought of that. That's a good point.
Yeah, so we brought up fish with the GoPro. Once the light, ambient light, you know, helped the cameras, then we saw what we're bringing up. But other than that, in the deep, when we're out 140, 150 fathoms, the cameras cannot see. So the next experiment was to put lights down there on the line, the fishing line itself.
So oh, we can for heaven's see. Sakes. Of course. What an idea, yeah?
Yeah, what's down there? But it's even that process for us is pretty expensive.
Let's talk about, though, the ways that the fishermen and the scientists can work together. Because I do know that the scientists, they want to do the right thing. But their information is only as good as what they have. And I'm thinking that a lot of us feel, the fishermen feel, that before you guys make decisions, you better really study this stuff. Because you make a decision can affect a man's livelihood.
That's right. When you look at it, there's not many full-time commercial fishermen. I would say maybe three of them on Maui. I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
you're talking about bottom fishermen now, right?
Bottom fishermen,
yeah.
Bottom fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists, really, they take our information, yeah, that we have through the fish catch reports and all the meetings we go to, advisory panels, councils, and whatever, and don't seem like they really, you know, get what we're trying to tell them or our concerns and stuff that's going on in the deep south. So
yeah, you know what I'm concerned about too, and I need to ask you about this because everybody asked me about it. There's this new thing they have, this CPUE, this catch per unit effort, whatever the heck that means.
Well,
I want you to explain it, because I know a lot of us used to think, okay, if I fish, I'm talking about the time I leave the dock till I put my boat back on the trailer. But that's not what this report is, right? This report is a little bit of difference.
Well, the thing is, catch per unit effort.
Okay.
It's the effort that the fisherman has to put in to catch that one fish. And we're telling the scientists that the fishery service and me, that this is not a very good way to do reports and
yeah, it looks whatever good. It looks good on paper, right? But when you try to be practical about it, it doesn't seem like it's right.
Yeah, CPUE and using the fishermen's data. Most of the scientists use the fisherman's data against us.
Mm-hmm.
The newcomer comes in, and he's CPU is going to be very high. It's going to be high numbers over there.
Because
he don't know where to go.
Yeah, he doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know what color. He doesn't know the bait. He doesn't know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot to do with all that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on that fisherman. Yeah, like I said, the new guy, his CPU is going to be a lot higher than the accomplished fisherman. Like us, we go to pause that we know the fish is there, that we fish at that core.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fish is not biting at that core, we move to the next one. So there's a lot of travel time involved with this. And soak time. CPU is actually soak time.
Yeah, make sure people understand, Basil, what soak time is. What is that?
Yeah, I just want to get to that. The amount of time that your line is actually in the water on the bottom trying to catch that one fish.
I got you. Nope. In other words, it doesn't take into effect moving the boat or travel time between one spot and the other. It's the time the hook goes in to the bottom.
Right. It's only the time that the hook and that bait is on the bottom. So that's where the problem might be. Mm-hmm. With our catch report. People put trip time. They, you know, they start at 8 o'clock in the morning and they finish at 11 at night. That's a trip time. Yeah, not
right,
the
right, not the soak time. You know, there's another thing too. I mean, sometimes you may decide as an experienced fisherman, this ground's not working. Nobody's biting. I got to move. Somebody that's less experienced might stay there all day, and waiting for something to change. It's not going to change, right?
Well, the thing is, in that aspect, I've sat on a pile of fish, yeah, for 2 to 3 hours, and when they start feeding. You catch 200, 300, 400 pounds in that hour, half or 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I actually talk to the scientist here and ask, how does this actually count with CPUE? We know the mass is there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not feeding, now how do you count that on the CPUE?
Yeah, there's no line for that on the forum, is there?
No.
Do you sometimes feel that maybe some fishermen are reluctant to give this information out because it might be used as a weapon? It might be used against them instead of for them?
Oh, that's happening too many times.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fishermen are leery on giving the exact location, data, and stuff like that.
But, right.
Either way, we lose if we don't give data, and we give data, and they use it against us.
You see, that's the exact reason why I was looking forward to talking to you, because somehow there's a trust that's being violated. And to restore that trust to the scientist and then to be able to be honest, the fisherman's got to say, well, what's in it for me? I mean, right now it looks like a one-way street.
That's right. Talk about cracks to the head, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're given the information, look at your fish catch report, and they tell you, we're overfishing. And yet, cooperative research, they say that section of NOAA telling us we're not overfished. When you come back to the Fisheries Science Center, they look at our data and they say we're overfishing.
Oh, boy.
So could be all because of the CPUE and the fish catch reports. Well, the fishermen, most of them, doing it wrong. I want to admit, I did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, he said, this is not right. We have to go on soak time.
Okay.
Yeah, what the line is on the bottom.
For those of you that just joined us, we're talking to Basil Oshiro. He's over there on the island of Maui. And he's on the advisory board for the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. And we're talking about the exchange of data between scientists and the fishermen. And then there's one thing that I really was looking forward to asking you. And although I look at the charts and everything else, I don't understand what these BRFAs are, these bottom fish restricted areas.
Okay,
Because they're not even in the stock assessment. So why are they valuable? Or not?
Well, the thing is, we don't really know, because it all started when back in maybe mid-2000s,
mm-hmm.
when the scientists, NOAA scientists, were saying we're overfishing the Onaga and the Ehu. And the next thing we knew was the seven species were included.
Yeah, all the deep seven. Everybody in there, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So... this is when everything started. It started with a 20% reduction of effort. So they created the bottom fish restricted areas. And the first time, well, it wasn't really working because we had a tack on it. And we reached the tack so fast. And we were asking if we were overfished, how come we're catching so much fish and we actually passing the total allowable catch.
Yeah, see, I never understood that. You know, I mean, in other words, you either have to increase the total allowable catch because there's more fish than they thought, or not everybody's being honest.
Well, it's both of that, Mike.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So what we actually went back to the council was we created the ACT, an annual target.
Okay.
So when we reach that, then we shut down the season. So
okay, now a couple years ago, Basil, that was at 386 or whatever it was. It was at a number. And it was like very, very encouraging because it actually either maintained or in some cases increased the allowable catch. But now, This current batch of restrictions that have come out are way more limiting. The figure's been drastically decreased.
Yeah. You look at, they're considering the CPUE as a model. So this is what we're trying to tell them. The model is not very good. We need more research on it.
In what form would you expect, or would you think that would be the most valuable areas of research? What needs to be altered or changed or relooked at?
Well, the thing is, I look at, it's my opinion, is the cooperative research section that PFG is doing. So we're trying to find out where the fish go when they're not biting, where the fish move to, and then they travel inter-island. So what happens when the fish not biting? Where are they? Within that certain amount of time or season. You know, on Maui, I'm not going to speak for Oahu or Island,
yeah.
But Maui, we fish all around, for all year round, all season around, with the onaga or the deep stabbing. Yeah? Most of the target species is the onaga and paka. So
right, for you, for the guys like you that are commercial, that's the preferred fish. That's what you want, right.
Right. We target it, but then you're going to catch ehu, gendai, ehi, nahapu and stuff. They're all, to us, as a co-op, they're all bycatches. But we don't really have bycatch.
I was going to say, you know, what some people consider bycatch is just for you guys another species that somebody else wants. But, you know, in other words, if I want onaga, I'm probably going to either buy my onaga or not buy anything. Because that's what I wanted was the onaga. But if I just want fish and there's no onaga, I might take a paka or a gendai or something else because I just want fish.
Yeah. It's food on the table.
Exactly.
Yeah. So actually what the commercial fisherman is doing is feeding the population.
Is it sometimes of a concern that the commercial guys like you and the handful of guys that you deal with all the time are responsive to these rules and regulations, but then there are other people that seem to be getting away with fishing and there's no repercussion. There's no enforcement.
Well, how are you going to enforce? Yeah, when our enforcement at Docare is so short-handed right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they can't be out in the ocean. They cannot be in the restricted areas. So there will be lawbreakers. Yep. Get away with it. They'll keep trying it. And be an honest fisherman. No. You're going to avoid all these things to just keep straight, yeah?
Yeah, keep it nose. Now, for those that want to know, you mentioned earlier Ahamoku. There are a couple of places people can learn more about that online. Is there a difference between the federal site and the Maui site?
Well, the federal site is through the council, yeah?
Okay.
The Pacific Fishery Council. And that's Ahamoku. .org.
That's Ahamoku, ahamoku.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have on Maui, ahamokuomaui.org.
Okay, Maui. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
and,
the Maui.
And what am I going to find at that one? I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, just punch in or type in that ahamokuomaui.org. And then it's the same. It's information about the Ahamoku system.
If more of the newcomers would embrace it, I think we'd be better off. It turns out that back in the day, they had some pretty good systems, and we seemed to have lost them for a while. And now I guess we're getting some of them back.
Yeah, we're trying best to get the system, you know, back on the table. But, you know, it's hard to bring something back that we lost. Maybe 100 years ago.
Okay, now, just so that Basil, people know the difference between the advisory board, which you sit on for the council, and the Maui Cooperative Fisher, what is that organization, and who are its members, and what is it for?
Well, the actually started the Maui Cooperative Fishing Association, I think it was back in the late 60s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the fishermen were being treated fairly as far as ICES were going on.
Okay.
So this cooperative was actually made or created to get a fair price to the fishermen. So we're actually more of a, like a club now than a fishing cooperative. And it's a non-profit, 501c3 3 or something like that.
But it is a good way that people can come and vent and communicate with each other. I mean, I've noticed ever since the council came on board with the show that they seem to be way more willing to communicate than before. But but everything comes downhill, right? Because all of these recommendations, they end up going to Washington, D.C., or going to the state level, and decisions are being made. And as a fisherman, I guess you're just hoping that they make decisions based on good data.
Well, support there.
That's a humbug, right?
Yeah, we're getting problem with the scientists on the right information. And most times, the fishermen are left out.
What do you feel are some of the things that we can learn or that we can do to improve what's going on?
Okay, so right now is a solution to me is a fisherman's code of conduct. And that has a lot to do with how the Aumoku system is run.
So and by the way, that code of conduct, by the way, is available at the council's website, wpcouncil.org. You can go see this. It's been worked on. It's pretty simple. And if you remain true to it, it'll be a big help, I would imagine.
Yes, because as far as code of conduct, the fisherman's code of conduct, a system of common sense. Yeah. When you look at it, it's no more, no take. It's more of a shallow water stuff, but you can push it on to the deep water. And then if you feel the system is not working, then you find out what's wrong. Solution to it. And that's where the scientists and the fishermen not communicating.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if I can say that there's been a lot of headway made. I see some. I mean, I see enough that I know that we talked off the air a while ago about some of our mutual friends. There's a lot of people like yourself and others that put an awful lot of time into this thing. And, you know, and it's reasonable to expect results, but maybe a little quicker, you know. I mean, sometimes some of this stuff seems to take forever.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know that, and I know that.
Well, what on the short term is of concern for other bottom fishermen, new or old? What are some of the short term problems that are facing the fishery right now?
Well, you look at it this way, Mike. A lot of us, the newcomers and stuff, they think, or even the scientists think that we go out there, any place in the ocean, and drop your line, and catch onaga, baka, ehu.
I wish.
Yeah, it's not like that.
No.
Yeah. Well, we call it paying your dues. And I was lucky enough to fish with one of the top co-op members or highliners on Maui. So I learned the ground. Yeah, I learned where to go. And then through your experience, you learn which current going to bite, where to go when the current's pulling in a certain direction. And a lot of times we get rough weather. And that stops a lot of fishermen from going out there. And the other thing is the fishery has changed. We have a lot of small trailer boats now, yeah, between 36 and maybe 17 feet. And weather is a main concern. It's the biggest
It's a huge problem. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, the thing that I was thinking about, and this has been, you know, right now, even though you say they're newcomers, they're armed with a lot of technology that a lot of us didn't have back in the day. For instance, you know, before, if you had a depth recorder, wow, you somebody. And if you had good landmarks, you could go out kind of in that same area. Now they got a GPS. You can go to the same puka. You know, yeah. 5 years later, you can go exactly to the same spot and go over again.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I've noticed from my landmarks.
Yeah.
That the ground is moving.
I was going to say, either the ground is moving or the land, something's happening, right?
Well, the thing is, you can have the best equipment,
mm-hmm.
yeah, from the GPS to your depth recorder. But if you don't know where to go or what to look for,
what depth
the fish is at, you're not going to catch anything. You're going to have a hard time unless you get very lucky.
Well, I think that history has shown you can get lucky sometimes, but you can't get lucky all the time. And for anybody that's listening to the program that thinks that bottom fishing is easy, it ain't easy, right? I mean, you talked about rough water. We could spend hours about how sometimes people go out there and the water's so rough, you're lucky you can hang on.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if a little rough, you can still anchor down.
Mm-hmm.
You can anchor, but you have to be, it's a matter of accuracy where you can put your anchor and you can sit on that fish. Yeah, and you, a lot of times we have to move from that area because the current changes, the wind blows you off the spot. You have to reset your anchor, and it has to be accurate because that fish somehow don't want to travel the 10 or 12 feet away from there.
That's amazing, isn't it? After all that time, you can still have that sort of enthusiasm. Well, I hope that people that are listening will go check out that ahamoku.org or ahamokuomaui.org. Find out a little bit about how that system was, and more importantly, how it's got to be totally revived because it works.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate your time and continued success for you on the island of Maui.
All right.
Yep. Aloha. Oh,
one more.
Go ahead. Yep.
We want to somehow be the part of the decision making process. But after all the data they get, we give them, it goes up to DC or Congress or the Fishery Service. And they make the decision for us. You know, like you said, the bottom to top type of decision making process would work better.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Thank you, my friend. And that's going to be it for this time. If you want to hear something on the show, you know what to do. Drop me a line. Email's the best. TheMikeBuckShow@AOL.com. TheMikeBuckShow@AOL.com. So if you're bottom fishing, I hope the water's not too rough. And if you're trolling up on top like me, tight line, sharp hooks, following season, big bites. We'll see you next time on Go Fish. Aloha.